Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots. Today, we have, it's kind of, I don't want to say spooky, but just more of an interesting murder mystery story. And I think this might pique some people's interest. It's a good one, and I'm excited to dive into it. But Shannon, first, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I was actually recently just in the town that this took place in, so it's very fitting that you brought it up.
That's right. This is a New England story that I personally have not heard of, but this could be a good PSA because, I don't know, the ending, it has a lot of twists, it has a lot of turns. And I'm excited to hear your opinion and your thoughts because it's really not just a case closed type of situation. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces. And today we're going to talk about a guy named Adam Emery. And Adam is, there's not a lot about him for the listeners, but the case that we're going to be talking about today is just really interesting. And it's really the aftermath where it just goes on, like I said earlier, a lot of twists, a lot of turns. And I'm excited to talk about it today because I feel like it's been a minute since we've talked about different theories. And I would be curious to hear what the listeners think after this episode.
Same. Yeah. Do we just hop into it?
Let's do it. No time like the present.
So who is Adam Emery? He was born on November 10th, 1962. He was 6'1", black hair and blue eyes. Now, this is the case. This is why we know Adam Emery's name, and it goes as follows. So just before 9 p.m. on August 30th, 1990, Adam Emery was 27 years old, and his wife, Alina,
which... Not me.
You weren't born yet.
Right. Could be Elena. We don't know.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Lena because that's what the show is.
It's too personal.
Adam and Elena and another couple.
Sitting in a tree.
Adam and Elena and another couple picked up food at a seafood stand in Warwick, Rhode Island, which was a town that I was just previously in. Mm-hmm. When suddenly another car sideswiped them and sped off. Adam kind of like lost his cool at this moment and he headed out after the car that struck them. Alina pointed to a Ford LTD that she believed was the vehicle that hit them. And he began speeding up towards that car and he drove by the 20-year-old driver who was Jason Bass. And also in the car with him was his cousin, Josh, and a friend.
It just makes me think like how typical New England this is. I know a lot of times people will say we're aggressive drivers. And it makes me think of a one time when I was in an Uber and some car cut off my Uber. Some car cut off the car in front of my Uber. And the man literally got out of his car to start yelling at this man who cut him off. Mm-hmm. It happens, you know, there's some hotheads out here.
It does happen, but hopefully, typically doesn't happen to this extent.
Yes.
Definitely not. So Adam then, you know, confronted Jason, yelled at him about the damage and demanded that they pull off. And Jason had no idea what they were talking about. And he said that he wasn't the one that sideswiped their car. And he tried to drive off because he felt extremely worried about like where this was going. Mm-hmm. Eventually, Adam was able to stop his car in front of Jason's and Alina gave Adam a knife to confront Jason, which is also crazy, a crazy thing to do. Like as a girlfriend, you're going to give your irrationally enraged boyfriend a knife.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this whole time, they still think that Jason is the one that sideswiped their car. You know, and that he's just lying. Jason's just very confused and he tried to drive off with Adam grabbing onto the car's hood, Adam began to stab towards Jason and hit it, and he actually hit him once in the heart. Tragically, Jason died at the scene. Even more tragic was the discovery that Jason's car was not the one that had hit Adam's car earlier, and the paint chips were confirmed that it was a different car that was responsible. So just completely, I mean, it would have been irrational to begin with, but
yeah,
even more bad place, wrong place, wrong time kind of situation.
Yeah, no justification.
But curiously enough, many people who knew Adam Emery were stunned by the turns of events, and he had never been charged with a crime before, and people didn't think he was, you know, capable of something like this. On November 5th, 1993, Adam finally went on trial for Jason's murder, and in the court, it was noted that he showed no emotion and that he had to defend himself. Like, that was his whole reason for doing it. And he never showed any remorse for killing Jason. And I mean, I think we can all clearly see that no self-defense was needed in this situation. Mm-hmm. And he was most certainly the aggressor. The trial ended on November 10th, and that was actually Adam's 31st birthday. He was convicted of second-degree murder for Jason's death, and Jason's family actually noticed that he showed no emotion even after the verdict was read. Adam was allowed to be released on bail pending formal sentencing 1 month later. He and Alina had left the courthouse at 3 p.m. that day. At 3:35, they showed up at a local sporting goods store. They bought sweatshirts, athletic socks, and 80 pounds of strap-on exercise weights. Curious.
Yeah.
At this, you know, at the shop, apparently, which I don't know if they were, if they talked to the clerk at the shop or how they knew this fact, but Adam was, interestingly enough, disturbed by the total amount of the bill that rang up to.
Which is good to note in the story.
Mm-hmm. And during the next hour, they were seen eating at a restaurant. At 4:45, the couple arrived at the Newport Bridge, which overlooks Narragansett Bay. 5 minutes later, they were seen on the bridge's walkway right next to their car. 5:15, they had driven away. Apparently, the couple returned to the bridge, and at 6:53 p.m., their car was reported abandoned on the bridge. The engine was still running, and the lights were on. There was neatly folded clothing on the back seat. On the front seat, there was cash, cut-up credit cards, and Adam's driver's license. Many believe they jumped to their deaths from the bridge, and an extensive search in the water turned up no trace of them. But, you know, some of these things that happened don't really add up to them jumping out. Like, I mean, the weights do, sure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, investigators thought it was strange that Adam was upset about the price of the equipment if he was just planning on jumping off the bridge in a couple hours after that. The people who had seen the couple at the restaurant right before their disappearances noted that they seemed happy. So those were a couple notes as to, you know, like, does this make sense? Did they actually?
Exactly. And this is just like where it all gets so fuzzy, because these are the last known things that we like have evidence of where they last were, and very curious about what they bought, how the car was stationed and set up, and just so many questions. So after the disappearances, one of the investigators decided to re-examine the courtroom footage, and he had a hearing impaired woman to watch the video so that way they could read his and hers lips, which I think is really smart. Apparently, the person who was trying to watch the video, try to understand what they were saying, she believed that Alina said, quote, "We're going to do what we originally said. You promised me." So clearly the Emerys had made a plan with each other. However, investigators did not know if that was a plan to jump off the bridge or if it was just a clever scheme to basically disappear and vanish, but make it look like they had. And I think that's where this case just, you know, goes wild.
Yeah.
So 9 months after the disappearances, there was a fisherman working in the bay that found two human leg bones in the net. And clinging to one bone was a fragment of sock, which was identical to the ones purchased by the Emerys on the night they vanished. But a marine biologist determined that there were no microorganisms on the clothing and bones, meaning that they were not there for 9 months and they did not belong to Adam. So I guess like in his professionalism, there would have had been something because enough time would have passed to get some sort of thing. So it's just like a lot of questions like, okay, then whose leg is this, you know?
Yeah.
Like if it's not his, then whose? So, and in addition, there was a forensic anthropologist who judged with an 85% certainty, according to this article, that the bone was from a white male, no taller than 5'7", but Adam was 6'1", so it just didn't fit the description.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy thing about this whole story is that to this day, and I mean, when did we say, what year was it? 1993, that Adam and Emery are still missing and there has been no trace of him found, like whatsoever. The FBI are still searching for them and believe that they are alive. And it's funny because when we were researching this, I found the PDF picture of it. And there have been several unconfirmed sightings of Adam throughout the United States and even in France and Italy. So just begs the question, he could have gone anywhere. Like, where could he be? So, but yeah, to this day, there's just, the answer hasn't been solved. So before we talk about the theories, we first got to hear a word from our sponsors. Alrighty, and we are back. So there's like a few pieces to this puzzle, but it still doesn't add up to anything. So we can only work with what we got. So one piece of the puzzle is that on August 30th in 1994, shortly after the story was, you know, talked about, a human skull was recovered from the bay, and it was announced a few days, like a week later or so, that the skull was identified to belong to Lena Emery. Interesting. But there is no trace of Adam.
Right. So we do have evidence that Alina at least ended up in the river.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not she jumped or was pushed, I suppose, is the question.
Exactly. And this is where it gets a little everything, it gets a little crazy. So he was declared legally dead in 2004, but however, the FBI placed him back on the wanted list in 2010. She's like, okay, wait. To me, that makes it sound like there was some sort of evidence that he was still alive in order to, like, if they said, oh yeah, he died in 2004, but then ended up, you know, living, like, what? Like, that's interesting. Like, what are you not telling us?
Yeah.
So someone from the Bureau said that the FBI continues to receive tips on a regular basis involving the whereabouts of Adam Emery, and we run each and every one to the ground. So I guess there's just something there, but I don't know, not enough to get an arrest or confirm it.
It's crazy to me how this works with these long-running cases. Because somebody can't be, you know, there can't be one person in the FBI that's like in charge of the Emery case, right? Because like there's just not enough to be busy for 40 hours a week, you know, every week.
Right. Yep.
But do you have to, every time you get a tip, do you have to refresh your memory? Like, okay, what do we, you know, like go through the file?
Yeah. Yep.
And run it down. Like, how do you, as an FBI agent, schedule your day? Because you never know.
How are you billing your hours?
Yeah. How many cases are you on? How do you prioritize? How do you manage your time when you don't know when something's gonna hit?
Right.
That's stressful to me. I don't like the thought of that.
Me neither. I couldn't operate that way.
But I guess there is somebody, a team or whatever, that every time a tip comes in, they deal with it.
Yep, with something.
Something.
Yeah, so there's like also another thing people have talked about, and a Coast Guard officer from the area has said that Emery surviving an impact and retaining the ability to avoid capture is hard to believe. So that could, you know, be another theory.
Yeah.
And she said, this is the first time I'm hearing something like that happening in this area. I would say that this is very out of the ordinary. But hitting the water from that height and speed, you're probably approaching terminal velocity at impact. So they're essentially hitting concrete, basically. Is it possible? Yes. Is it likely? No. You are probably going to have broken legs, arms, or cracked ribs. It would be very difficult for someone to then swim to shore. So she also found it bizarre that someone could park their car on the bridge, exit, and leap into the water during rush hour without a single eyewitness, even during a late afternoon in November. She said that bridge is very busy. Even in the off season, it would be out of the ordinary for no one to see it.
That's what I was wondering. It's like, how could people jump off the bridge? And again, yeah, it was at like 6:30 in the evening. So it's not at 2 a.m. or anything.
Yeah.
So how could nobody see it and call the police or whatever? But I think it would also be weird to see some people. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Wouldn't it be weird to see people leaving their car and then walking the rest of the way off the bridge?
I was just thinking that, but maybe perhaps they had somebody behind them in another car so they could escape right away. Like they just like hopped in and out.
And the car was running though. So why would you keep your car running? I mean, in any of these situations.
Yeah, it definitely. I think somebody else must have. If we go with the theory that he is at least still alive there, I mean, I guess he could have walked, but maybe somebody picked him up right after.
Right. And like, so was
in the whole process.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's also maybe even no, it's, I mean, it's also super unlikely that he pushed her off at that time as well.
Yeah.
So maybe they let, like, maybe they got picked up by somebody, like you said, and then he came back, he killed her and came back with her body and dumped her in the river at some other time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the part that probably confuses me the most, is just her. What happened to her? You know?
I think he killed her. Definitely.
Yeah.
Tinfoil hat is on my head for that one.
And then how did he get away with that with no one seeing? I mean, I guess he doesn't have to put her over the bridge theoretically. Like he could have just killed her and tossed her body in the bay.
Right.
So many thoughts.
Do you think he's still alive?
I kind of do, actually. I think he is still alive. I think he got away with it. I think he literally got away with murder.
Yeah.
And probably murders, plural.
Yeah.
What do you think? Where's your tinfoil hat?
I would normally say, like, he probably threw himself out over two.
Mm-hmm.
And we just haven't found anything, but it seems like the authorities are saying that it would have turned up.
Right.
So if that's the case in this water, in this bay, then yeah, I think he probably killed her and he ran off, but neither of them jumped. I think that makes sense, what you said, that somebody was picking them up or, you know, feasibly you could say that people would just think that their car broke down. So if they saw them walking off the bridge, like whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think you would be able to get away with jumping off of it without anybody noticing. And he probably was generic enough looking that he could, you know, get away with like another identity later on. But I just don't know how he convinced. Yeah. If he just told Alina that they were both going to run away.
Yeah.
And buying the weights was just to take us off their scent. Yeah.
Yeah. I also just think it's interesting how, okay, let's just say he is alive. How has he led a life without any leads, you know? Like, mm-hmm. how has the FBI not been able to track this guy down?
I like how they say he's either in Florida or Italy. I'm like, those are two different places.
So, yeah. And he does look really generic, so I don't know.
Yeah. I think he could be dead now, but I don't think he died then. Yeah, totally. Very interesting and very mysterious.
Mm-hmm. I would be very curious to know what our listeners think. Let us know on Instagram. What do you guys think? Follow us at Bare Roots Pod, B-A-R-E. And tell us, do you think he died? Do you think he's alive? Like, do you think he got away with it? What are your thoughts? We would love to hear that. And yeah, be sure to give us a follow on whatever streaming platform you listen to, whether it's Apple Music, Spotify, we're there. So be sure to subscribe and we'll talk to you guys soon.